This chazor of zechinish b'chazor shagam b'mivim b'sechet chul and daf samech vav. The early Gemara quoted two brises, one from Teretz Kahanim and one from the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel. Now, dashing the puzzle regarding grasshoppers, each dashing in a different way. What's machleik between the brises? What is it based on? Tomorrow they argue regarding a grasshopper with a long head. The first brisa holds that Asher Loikra Ayim is a klal arba solom chargal chargav and liminehu regarding each one is a prat. This means we only include in the klal what's in the prat. The result is that the only things included in the minehu are grasshoppers that have all four characteristics and that don't have long heads, like the four species that are out there listed. The brisa of Shmuel holds that Asher Loikra Ayim is a klal arba solom chargal chargav is a prat. Liminehu regarding each one is another klal. The result is the klal prat to klal, and therefore it teaches to include things that are similar to the prat. This includes grasshoppers that share the four characteristics, even if they have a long head. Fact, the Gemara, Hakav Yishmol Dash and the Klal Prat the Klal with this pasuk. The first Klal and the second Klal are very different. The first Klal would say that anything that has jumping legs can be eaten, where the second Klal says that it must have all four characteristics to be eaten. We don't Dash the Klal Prat the Klal in this way. And Gemara Tanur Yishmol does Dash the Klal Prat the Klal even in circumstances like this. Jack Gemara the Brice of Rabbi Yishmol said, based on the word Chagav, we would think that if a grasshopper is called Chagav, it's kosher even if it doesn't have the four characteristics. The pasuk therefore says Liminayu to teach it must have all four characteristics. Now the pasuk already says Arben Chargol, which do have the four characteristics. So how could we have thought to say the four characteristics are not needed? And for tomorrow, once the pasuk says Salam, which teaches that a grasshopper with a long head is kosher, even though those listed in the pasuk do not have a long head, this shows that grasshopper does not need to be exactly like those listed in order to be kosher. Therefore, we would think that simply being called Chagav may on its own be enough to make it kosher. Therefore, it comes to teach. In fact, remember, the first brisa that says Salam is the Roshon, and the Chargol is the Nipple. The second Brisa reverses this, so it seems to be a steer. As Mar said, they each gave the names that were used for the grasshoppers in the place that they lived. Mishnah said, "V'dagim kol sheyeshli snap pivikas keses." Zokim Rav Brisa says, "Fish that don't yet have fins and scales, but which would grow them as they mature, like the sultanus and the afyan, are mutter. Fish that have fins and scales now, but which will lose them when they're pulled out of the water, like the akunus, the afunus, the kiseftios." And the achseftios and the atunas are also mutter. A Mishnah says any fish that has scales definitely has fins, but there are fish that have fins that don't have scales. Based on this, Torah should only say that the fish needs scales to be kosher, because we know that if it has scales, it has fins. And if the Torah would have only said kaskeses, we would say that kaskeses maybe is the fins. The Torah therefore also wrote snapir, so which thereby teaches that one is fins and one is scales. We know kaskeses, as opposed to the snapir, refer to the scales, based on the pasuk that says a golyas were a coat of kaskasim. Based on this, even if only kaskeses was written alone, we would have known that it refers to the scales. And Gemara Ravo said, Ravo in the time of the Bereshmol said that this was done, that really, we didn't need it, but it was done, yagdil teira v'yadir. So Gemara Baita, a brisa says, the pasuk says that we may eat fish that have fins and scales. This would teach us that we may not eat fish that we don't have fins and scales. The pasuk then says that we may not eat fish that don't have fins and scales. This would teach us that we could eat fish that do have fins and scales. Why are both pasukim needed? They're needed so that one who does eat a fish without fins and scales would be over for an asay and a lois asay. What does the pasuk of toichlu mikol asher b'mayim teach? We would think that since the pasuk allows the eating of water shvatim specifically and generally, we should say that just as the allowance in specific cases is only in case of shrutzim that grow in water that's in a keli, the same should be true for the general allowance. How do we know that there's even an allowance for shrutzim that grow in water of boiras, sichin, and ma'aris as opposed to water of the seas and the rivers, which would mean that a person who may bend down and drink from these waters without having to worry whether there are shrutzim in the water, the pasuk therefore says, toichlu mikol asher b'mayim, which teaches to allow the eating of water shrutzim, even those that grew in boiras, sichin, and ma'aris. For Akhtamara, where do we find that the Torah allows the shrutzim that grew in the water in a keli? The pasuk says, "Ezet toichlu mikol asher b'mayim," and goes on to say that creatures that have fins and scales in the water and the seas and the streams, those you may eat. This teaches that it's only in regard to the creatures of the seas and the streams that one may not eat from them if they don't have fins and scales. But with regard to those that grow in the water of kelim, they may be eaten even if they don't have fins and scales. Fact, Gemara, maybe we should instead understand the pasuk as saying that creatures that grow in water and kelim will not be eaten even if they have fins and scales. Gemara said that can't be because the pasuk says, "V'chol asher ein lo snapir v'kaskeses b'yamim v'necholim mikol sheretz hamayim," which teaches that in the seas and streams, a creature without fins and scales may not be eaten. This means that in water of kelim, even creatures that don't have fins and scales may be eaten. Fact, Gemara, why don't we say that b'mayim is a klal, b'yamim v'necholim is a prat, and we teach that only things included in the klal are the things mentioned in the prat, which would mean that the fins and scales requirement only applies to seas and streams, but would not apply to ponds and canals, and certainly not to water and kelim. And remember, when the pasuk says b'mayim, it's a second klal, which makes it into a klal prat u klal. But these two klal are not separated by the prat. So how can it be darshan like a klal or prat to klal? And for tomorrow, Ravina said, it's like they say in Eretz Yisrael, when two klals are written together, we view them as if the prat is written in between them. Therefore, we darshan by mayim as a klal, by yam as a prat, by mayim as another klal, and we darshan as a klal or prat to klal, where we include things that are similar to the prat, just like the, when we say like this, just like the prat, meaning the sea, is water that comes from a wellspring, we include all waters that come from a wellspring. Therefore, we include the ponds and canals, but exclude bayrus, sich, and emma'urus. Fact number one, maybe instead darshan that the prat is water that has accumulated on the ground, in which case we should even include bayrus, sich, and emma'urus as being like the seas and the canals. Furthermore, the word toichlu is not needed to permit the creatures with no fins and scales that grow in kelim, so it must be coming to permit these creatures that grow in bayrus, sich, and emma'urus.